You know, it is important to live not long, but well. And that is what matters. We want to live well. The good life is a life of joy and gratitude, of learning and loving and being loved. Is there anything better? That to me is just what it's all about. Now, media has a message for older people. Not a message of respect, but a negative view of aging. By all means, don't look your age. How dare you? You need all the help you can get to look younger. And the second message we get from media is be afraid. Be very afraid. You need our products to protect yourself from a dangerous world. And we'll convince you that it's dangerous so you'll know that you need our products. What are they doing?
Using scare tactics.
They're selling us a bill of goods. They're trying to scare us. And they're trying to take our money. That's what it's ultimately about. They want our money. And they figured out that these things will get older people excited and make them turn over their hard-earned cash. But it's important to be honest. Do we know what that means? To show the face that we really have to the world. This is me. This is what I look like. This is not somebody's product that they've managed to sell me to make me look like somebody I'm not. Because after all, I have been living and learning for a long time. I am 72 years old. I might just have something to contribute. Something more than a 21-year-old might have. And it's important to trust God to take care of me, not security alarms. Is this making sense?
Sure.
Are you identifying with what I'm saying here? I got old about 2 years ago. I first realized that something was wrong when I went to pick up a student on the far-flung campus of Westchester High School. Suddenly, I was having trouble pulling myself up the steps. I stopped and I looked around. Who was I on my way to pick up? Where was she? How could I figure out what I was supposed to be doing? And then I realized that in my purse, I had stuck this yellow slip that had her name on it, and it had her classroom on it. So I dug through my purse and I found it, and I was able to get her and take her to Healthy Start for her counseling. And then I had to talk to my boss because something was really, really seriously wrong. "Don't worry," he said. "You can take the day off if you need to." Well, it was more than something that a day could take care of. I ended up having brain surgery, having a seizure, and catching pneumonia, and turning 70, all in the same year. That was the year I got old. And it, something like that can really convince you that that's what's happened. I went to my doctor. He sent me to a neurosurgeon. The neurosurgeon showed me a picture of my brain. And one hemisphere was smaller than the other. You know, brains are kind of balanced, or they're supposed to be, and mine wasn't. And she explained that it was normal pressure hydrocephalus, which is just a fancy term that says you got water on your brain. You've got fluid that's putting pressure on it. And the effects are you can't function physically as well, and you can't function mentally as well. And that certainly fit my experiences. They did the surgery to install a shunt to drain the fluid off my brain down into my abdomen, where it was absorbed. And it worked. It actually was effective. Soon I was home from the hospital. My husband Frank here had taken our daughter Kathy to Monterey so he could watch our granddaughter Katiana while Kathy taught for an English teachers conference. And our son Robert, fortunately, stayed at home with me. It was fortunate because I had a seizure and woke up back in the hospital. While I was there, I caught pneumonia. There's no worse place to catch things than a hospital. They're just full of germs. They really are. But in a sense, there's no better place to catch things than in a hospital. Because I had this wonderful nurse who all through the night that I was in such agony trying to get my breath would hold my hand and tell me to breathe. I can't tell you how I just hung on to her for dear life, and she pulled me through. We are so fortunate to have the medical care that we have. It gives us years that we would never have had otherwise. And we are so fortunate to have caring people who give us that care. And that is wonderful. I had to retire, which was not the treat for me that it is for so many people. I love to work. I'm a real workaholic. I started working when I was 10 years old on my dad's newspaper in Happy, Texas. He owned this little weekly newspaper, and I started writing for him and running presses and hand-setting type and just doing all kinds of things. And we had a weird group of people who used to come in late at night on our deadline night. One of them was a law enforcement man. Another one was an alcoholic. They were kind of the odd people in Happy. And they came and talked to my father about child labor. But I was loving it. I just thought it was the greatest thing in the world. I was Lois Lane. I was telling everybody all these things that were going on, and it was, I was doing an important job, and I felt good about it.
So you had a good relationship with your father.
I had a great relationship with my father.
It's sometimes rare.
I understand that it is, and I'm so sorry that it is rare, because when it's good, it can be great. It really can. Actually had a better relationship with my father than with my mother. And my mother was sickly and complained a lot, and my dad was kind of the just buck up and do it. And that clicked with me. It made sense to me. And I put myself through college writing publicity, first for Abilene Christian and then for out here for Pepperdine, on the old Pepperdine campus, if anybody remembers that. We came out, my husband Frank and I came out to Pepperdine just as the Watts riots were breaking out in 1965, wasn't it? And it was an interesting welcome to Los Angeles. And I loved it. This was the city. This is where everything was going on. This was where important things were happening. This was where there were important things to do. And important things to write about. I have now published... Do we have a copy of that? I have now published my 8th book. Over the past 30 years, I've written 8 books. Somebody says it must take about 4 years a book. And I said, well, it doesn't take 4 years to write a book, but a good part of that time is living it. And then figuring out what you have to say about it. But I have been so blessed to be able to do the work that I love. And retirement was difficult. I was complaining about it to one of our elders' wives, to Margaret McNair. And I said, I just don't know what to do with myself. I had 2 kids and jobs and responsibilities and things that I thought were important to get done. And I said, what am I going to do now? Nobody needs me. Nobody needs my skills to do what needs to be done. And I really felt kind of awful about it. And she said, Billy, this is your victory lap. Enjoy it. And I looked it up, and you know what a victory lap is. Somebody tell me what a victory lap is.
At the end of a race?
At the end of a race. What happens?
Congratulatory.
It's congratulatory. You go around the course slowly, and you drink in this wonderful life experience that you've had. And that is what is so victorious about being old. And don't be afraid to say it. It's not golden or silver or... It is old. And that's not bad. And that's not something to be ashamed of. And we have no apologies for it. Is this making sense?
Sure. I had that problem when I first retired. I said, by the week, though.
Well, you catch on that you can do things, and that you can enjoy things, and that you can have some fun. And especially if you have a grandchild. Oh, my goodness. It's just the greatest. If we live long enough, we realize, too, that we don't have all the answers. So I taught a Bible class at the Culver Ponds Church about growing old with God. And in that class, I looked around at our congregation, which is full of gifted and talented people, and three of them are sitting right here in front of me. And I started thinking, what am I doing talking about taking care of yourself physically when I have Jeff Nicholson here in the church who's a physical trainer? He's also a chaplain, but he's a physical trainer. And I know maybe as much of the chaplain stuff as he does, but I don't know the physical stuff. So he went in with me the week I taught that class. Somebody have a Bible?
On my phone.
1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Oh, you got it? Okay. Yes, please read it.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest, after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified.
Okay. What did you hear in that? Just anybody say.
Keep moving.
Keep moving. Did you hear the word discipline?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What have you found that's effective to you, for you, physically, to do as you get older? What's important, Toby?
To do things that I enjoy doing, because if I just get out there and grind away and think, I hate this. If I do something that I really like to do, then I'll do more of it and get it faster.
Fantastic. Somebody else, what do you do physically to take care of yourself?
I have two dogs and I walk them a mile a day.
Okay, great. Walking is one of the best forms of exercise. Diana?
I do yoga and I love to do dancing too.
Mm-hmm. And Diana is also very particular about what she eats. Mm-hmm. And she taught me a good bit about that.
We do the same. We like to hike, and since we live in Colorado, hike, and then we like to walk.
Mm-hmm. And you had something over here?
Well, it's I think you know, lifting's important, moderate lifting.
Right.
Because it keeps the muscles around mm-hmm. your joints strong.
Absolutely.
So that you're less likely to get injured.
Okay. So these are the kinds of advice that my physical trainer shared with the group. Then the next week, we talked about the importance of your mental health, taking care of yourself mentally. And this week, I had Dwayne Simmons, professor of neuroscience at UCLA, come into my class with me. And Dwayne had already talked to me about the surgery that I had on my brain And he reassured me what they were doing, how it was working, that it wasn't something I should be concerned about, that it was a common, fairly common thing anymore that they did, and that they knew how to do it, that it wasn't going to mess me up. And that was good to hear. That was really helpful. In your congregation, you may not have the level of experts that I have access to, but you can look around and find people. You can talk to people that you know. You can talk to your doctor. You can talk to people from neighboring congregations. If you're putting together a class like this, you can find some people who can talk about the things you have to talk about. Forgot to tell you the scripture. 1 Corinthians 2:16. Somebody have it? Where's my Bible? Can I send it back to somebody?
By the way, another good exercise is to come to Pepperdine and climb all the
stairs. Absolutely. Oh, these stairs will do it.
Right.
Yeah. Who wants to buy them?
Oh, maybe that would happen.
Okay, I've got 2:16.
Okay. Open study.
For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Okay. What does this say about our mind? And how important our minds are. What do you do to keep your mind strong and alert?
My wife and I do the weekly church bulletin at home.
Okay.
She does the family notes. So I do the order of worship.
Uh-huh.
And, well, that keeps us pretty busy.
Okay.
And it does.
and it keeps you thinking.
That's right.
And it keeps you up on technology, probably, because you're having to learn things about the computer that you might not have known a few years ago.
We have a laptop, and we have a couple printers.
Uh-huh.
And we do it and print it all out home and take it to church on Sunday morning.
Isn't that great?
The only key is we got it. Make sure we get there on time.
Right. And what else can you do for your mind?
I have recently discovered an app called Audible, and I listen to books on my phone now, and I am getting through long novels. I'm getting through books about, what do I want to say? Books about scripture. I'm getting through, all kinds of interesting stuff. I'm learning about psychiatry because of my son's issues. And I would never be wading through all these books if I couldn't listen to them. It's much easier. And then I can be doing other things with my hands while I'm listening.
And I love to read a lot more than I like to listen.
Mm-hmm.
So even if I can just read a chapter a night. I'm reading Solzhenitsyn every night. I'm reading Walter Mosley in the morning. I'm reading a lot of good authors. I like good writing, and I appreciate good writing, and I learn from good writing. And then what about the computer? My, if something enters your mind and you want to know something about it, you've got all this knowledge at your fingertips. You have to be careful. There can be mistakes there. I think we've probably all found them. But for the most part, what a blessing is that? What else do you do?
Well, we go places.
Mm-hmm.
And we go visit people in the nursing home.
Okay.
And we try to be involved with the people that need help and help them if we can. And
fantastic.
Point them in the right direction or something like that.
That is so great.
Yeah. We go to plays. We go to some other churches having a area-wide singing. We try to go to that. Different places.
Okay.
Another great one is to search for very difficult questions about the Bible and challenge the theologians of church.
No.
But we're studying Mark at the moment, and I've got some great questions which I've challenged them there. It's amazing. And it's great to see their answers and how they squirm at that.
Okay. Mark, would you like to respond?
Yeah, there's always one in every church.
This is our minister.
I think it's stimulating just to come to a Pepperdine lecture or something. Mm-hmm. Some fabulous lectures.
I'm sure. Yeah.
And learning a language. I'm in the process of learning French because I like it, and do the little Duolingo and listen, that's been fun for me.
That is wonderful. How many newspapers do you subscribe to?
New York Times Online, Denver Post.
Fantastic. What news do you watch on TV?
CNN and Fox.
Okay. And I happen to like PBS and BBC America. BBC America is great. Catty Kay is one of my favorite reporters right now.
Mm-hmm. I make a point of watching different news on different
stations. Right. You can watch the French news and then the German news and then the BBC and then PBS.
And there's Russian news, too. That's fascinating.
And Al Jazeera.
Yeah.
And it gives you different approaches, and it keeps your mind more flexible.
That's important.
Excuse me?
Important.
Yeah, that is important. That is so important to realize that the way we've always thought it was might not be the way it is. Or it might not seem that way to somebody in a different context. That we need to try to understand people maybe a little better than we have.
If I don't get out, if I don't hear the news, if I'm away, if we don't get the news on a daily basis, I kind of feel disconnected. Like I'm missing out on something. Hey,
yeah.
What's going on in my world? I'm not the only one in this world. There's a big world out there.
Yeah. And let's look at emotional. When I did my emotional lesson, Jenny Ricker came in with me, and she's a psychologist. And she talked about gratitude. How often do we as older people realize how important it is to be grateful for the blessings that we have? Let's look at Philippians 4, 4 through 7.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Okay. To me, that is at least sort of saying, look for the good. I noticed this spring that our backyard was prettier than it had been for a while. And we had flowers blooming that I hadn't seen blooming out there. And I thought, if our backyard looks this good, a really good garden has to look incredible. Do you know where this is?
The Rose Garden down
the Rose Garden at the Huntington.
Yes.
I was blessed to be able to do research at the Huntington at one point, and they've got the best gardens of anybody.
And your granddaughter.
And that's my granddaughter. Frank and I never had much. We both worked, and in L.A. everything costs more. We didn't buy a house until our kids were grown, which kind of might seem like it defeats the purpose, but that was what we were able to do, and I was so grateful that we were able to do that. What helps you rejoice? Toby?
The beauty, looking at nature and thanking God for his beautiful gift.
Toby is an artist. Mm-hmm. And she not only enjoys beauty, she creates beauty. Mm-hmm. And she blesses our lives with beauty. Get to know your own Toby. Get to know your own Huntington. Get to know places that lift your spirit and make you feel good. The next class that I taught was about the importance of a support network. Oops. Oh, all right. I'll back up and get this.
We'll
do the support network. The support network is something I feel really strongly about right now, and I'd really like to get that discussed. Rona Kingsley was my support network, and she has a strong support network of other people. And when I was trying to start a nonprofit at Culver Palms, she volunteered with me, and she worked across the desk from me. And one day she was looking around and figured out that that little tiny office could be rearranged in a way that made it more spacious. And she didn't just tell me. She jumped up and started moving furniture. And that is the kind of support network you need. The person who will just jump in and do what they see that needs to be done. And it's what we can do for each other.
That'd work in our house.
Can you work it in your house? See, that's what it takes, is doing it. It's not somebody else's job to do. We all have to be support networks for each other. We took three trips with our family and had one special occasion that emphasized the importance of a support network. We went to Monterey and kept Katiana while Kath attended an English professor's conference. We rested, picnicked in the park, toured the aquarium, watched the sunset over the ocean, ate at Fisherman's Wharf to the sound of barking sea lions. Mm-hmm. It was just a wonderful experience. We went to the Sylvie family reunion, my husband's family, in Asilomar. 30 people were there, Frank and his 5 brothers and sisters and their children and grandchildren. And we celebrated and we sang and we shared with that extended family. Then we celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary in August of 2013 at the Culver Palms Church. Frank is a member of a singing group, Mansfield Chamber Singers, and 20 of his fellow singers came to our anniversary.
That's great.
And 60 Culver Palms members came to our anniversary. And 20 special guests from previous times in our lives, starting back with a high school friend of mine from Happy, Texas, which was such a surprise. And we sang and we clapped and we rejoiced together. And Keith Briscoe, one of our elders, compared our marriage to a movie with a script and a soundtrack, my writing and Frank's music. And the final trip was when Frank's brothers, Perry, retired from the New York City Ballet. He was the stage manager of the New York City Ballet, and he rented a villa in Italy and had different parts of the family different times to come over, and our whole family, we and our two children and our granddaughter, all went to Italy and even stopped in Paris on the way back just because our granddaughter wanted to see Paris. Now, how's that for a crazy thing to do? But it was wonderful. It was just a magical experience for our family.
That's something that nobody in the family will forget it.
Nobody will forget it.
It's a fantastic memory.
It is. And this is a great time to make those memories.
Especially that little girl there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
My sister Barbara and I have had trouble getting together because of our various health issues. But we talk every week by phone or by email. And I'm really looking forward to having her family here this summer. That's something I'm very excited about. The Body of Christ, if you haven't guessed, at Culver Palms is a continuing support. Let's look at Hebrews 3, 12 through 13. Should be the next one after Rome, isn't it? I don't know.
Nope.
Okay, sorry.
This is something else.
Okay, this is Kelly. Oh, back up.
Okay.
Back to the singing. This was our anniversary. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Right.
This was our anniversary. The tall one is our son. The one in black is our daughter, our granddaughter, and Frank and I, with his singing group behind us. And then go to Kelly. Can you find Kelly? Okay. The next lesson was about being active and involved, which we've talked about a lot. But Kelly Shaw went in with me that week, and she's an occupational therapist. And right now, she is so actively involved that she can't even be here because she is in Cambodia with a health group that's serving the people there. Can you explain it better?
Yeah, relief work.
Okay. So she not only teaches you to be active and involved, she does it herself. And that to me is impressive. It's too easy to sit in front of the computer or the TV or on the couch reading. We may have to retire from our job, but we don't retire from life. 24% of people over 65 volunteer. 33% with religious organizations, 25.6% with education and youth, 14.7% with social and community. The more education a person has, the more likely he or she is to volunteer. Did you know that? In other words, if you're not giving yourself away to the people around you who need you, you're saying something about your intelligence. We need to stay active and involved. you can put together a web diagram of the things that you would like to do. Physical things, mental things, social things, and then you stick points out from that. You know what a web diagram looks like? You just run. I don't have more on it, but you run lines up from physical, and you might put different activities that you do, and mental and social. You just think through what you can do, how you can bring more activity into your life.
I think it's when you can know that you're helping somebody else, it brings back to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The next lesson was preparing for death, and I had Mark's wife, Angela, come in because she's a hospice, trained hospice person, and she talked to the group about hospice care. And the last lesson was on leaving a legacy. We need to think of what we are going to leave. I'm so thrilled that we have our house, because we actually have something of value to leave our kids, which would never have happened otherwise, I hate to say, but it's the truth. Greg McNear, a LAUSD lawyer, started a foundation honoring the memory of his in-laws. It's called the Broom Foundation. And it equips and encourages young people through education, legal, and support services. Somebody check Acts 9, 36 through 39.
In Joppa, there was a disciple named
Tabitha,
mm-hmm. which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in the upstairs room. How far do you plan? Linda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him crying and showing him the robe and the other clothes that Dorcas had made while she was still with them.
This was Dorcas's legacy. She gave things, made things for people. Our legacy doesn't have to be money. We don't have to have a house. Our legacy can be the love that we've shown another person. Our legacy can be the caring that we've had for someone else. But do give it some thought. What is your legacy going to be? Thank you.